confirmation class. You guys are guinea pigs for me. I see a lot of gulps. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you to do two things for me. Okay, can you sit up straight first? This is gonna be three things because that was the first. Okay, can you guys all just stand up for me real quick, nice and tall? Great, you're looking at me. Okay, you guys can sit down now. A lot of smiles. Okay, you haven't fallen asleep on me yet. That was just to keep you awake and maybe show you something. So when you get older, you can speak and people do things. You're given authority. You're no longer sort of listening, obeying, wondering when is the day that I'll be able to speak and people will follow me and listen to me. Well, I am privileged of speaking and people will at least have to listen. I don't know if they actually listen, but they look like they try to listen. A lot of people listen, but they could be anywhere with their minds. But that's a great grace you get getting older, right? Some of you are in the midst of deciding high schools, if you haven't already. Maybe you're already in high school, but you're tasked with some decisions to make, right? You're growing older in your current grade, in your current women on campus, as the phrase used to be. People look up to you, and you'll get to high school and you'll kind of be the small fish again. But 12th grade comes around, you'll be the big fish again, and you'll be making decisions towards college, right? And as you grow and move, ability will be placed on your shoulders, but still you'll sort of have some authority, ability to sort of make some effects in the world, to cause things to happen, more on your own than you had before. With that, you'll have choices to make, right? And often you'll have problems. What decision to make with problems? In today's gospel reading, two of the disciples were tasked with coming up with a solution for the problem of Jesus dying, of the one person that to everything in the world being taken from them, crucified, dying, his body being taken from them and having no clue where to go, what to do. They had a hard decision to make. So left to their own, them thinking Jesus is the one, him having to suffer and die, and now having no clue what to do, they decide, maybe this isn't the call. Jerusalem isn't the place. So they leave Jerusalem and go to Emmaus. It's a famous story. Famous story of the journey to Emmaus. A dive into the scriptures, going away from Jerusalem is the place. The promise of God coming back to his people through Mount Zion, Jerusalem's sort of the center, the prize jewel, the understanding that Jerusalem will be the place through which God will again redeem his people. So their sort of decision to come up with a solution to their problem shows that they don't necessarily have the right answer. So too, when Jesus comes alongside them, he shows them that, right? So these disciples, they knew all the happenings. They knew everything that good Jews, and they were good disciples of Jesus. They had all these facts, and yet the mystery was still present. They didn't have an ability to unlock the mystery present in front of them. So too in life, we're confronted with mysteries that we're asked to solve, and we don't necessarily have the key to do it. Problems that you maybe have been facing as confirmandi, problems that you certainly will face as you get older, and you'll look for the key. We're blessed in this age to have many technology. ChatGPT gives you any answer you need, will solve any problem you have, right? The disciples had all the answers to their questions right in front of them, and yet they still didn't have the key to unlock the mystery. So too with us, ChatGPT, Jesus is the key. He's the only one that'll make sense of all of our problems. He's the only one that'll give us an understanding of the mysteries present. He'll give us the eyes of God, the heart of God, the mind of God to see, to hear, to understand the way. So what do we do? What do we do? We hear in the second reading for the first letter of Paul, or St. Peter, I'm sorry. He says, conduct yourselves with reverence on this, your time of sojourning. Your time of sojourning, that's sort of our earthly life, like our journey. In our time of sojourning, we're to conduct ourselves with reverence. with reverence. We hear the word reverence a lot, maybe within the space of the church. The Greek word is translated in other places as fear of God or with piety. So sort of outwardly, hopefully, expressing. So in other words, reverence is sort of creating space for God. We do so outwardly in some gestures and signs. So Father begins us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we follow suit. That is an outward sign that was good obedience. We also genuflect to the tabernacle when we come for Mass and when we leave for Mass, because Jesus' real presence is there. We bow to the altar as a sign of the place of Calvary. We pray before meals as a means of trying to this food. It maybe seems like it's very indirectly, but he has. He's given us this food, and we ask him to bless it, and we ask him to use it in us, to nourish us, to do right and proper things. There's many things that we're called to do reverentially as we come in to help us in this sojourning, to help give us the answers, to give us the key to the mysteries that are present to us. The letter of St. Peter simply tells us that. Conduct yourselves with reverence. We are human. Our bodies often get in the way. The reverence, the peace of reverence, helps us. It's sort of the fear of God, of trying to be maybe a little bit more pious, I guess, in our living, as a means of helping to kind of put the blinders on ourselves, realizing we're human, often distracted. Lord, help me, you, to put out distractions so that I don't fill this space with other things, but that I can with you. In so doing, Jesus, who walks alongside us, is given space to speak to us. He's given space to speak to us, to help us to understand these mysteries. Maybe what high school we're called to go to, maybe college, friends, certainly, who are we called to be friends, who are we called to have as our role models, how are we supposed to deal with this family situation that there just seems to be no answer to. The Lord is there to offer us that key. With reverence, outwardly, certainly, but inwardly, most certainly, with reverence, we're called to allow him to come in to help us, to give us the key. Amen.